Welcome to the Pumberuski podcast. Matt Stafford is staying in LA. All those rumors about him and Brady, throw them out the window. Stafford is staying in Hollywood. This is the Pumberuski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns. Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Pumberuski podcast by Power 818 Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich. Biggest Drake May lover you'll ever see. JK, I am not Drake May lover 13 or whatever that account is. CJ Medeiros, Adam Wright. It's going to be a fun one here today. Happy Friday. Hope the weekend brings a lot of joy to you. But a lot of joy if you're a Rams fan. You get to keep Matthew Stafford for, I'm not really sure. Do you guys know what the details were? I know that Penn has not hit paper and nothing's actually official. But per Adam Schefter, this is going to happen. Do you guys know for sure what the details were, though? I don't have it in front of me at the moment.
I haven't seen it yet.
Nothing has been made public about the specific contract restructures, but I don't – they said restructure, so they're not
– Yeah.
Something tells me they're not adding money to his contract, that they're moving money in order to maybe give him more now – maybe some to move it to later. I don't know. But something tells me they came to an agreement where they are not giving him more money.
I mean, we're all, so if we say that he gets most of his money on the front end right now for the next how many years are on his contract? I should have had some of this stuff up. I'm an idiot. But say they front end more of this money to earlier on in this contract, it could set up potentially maybe a trade down the road in the next couple of years for all we know, if that maybe that's the case for the Rams. But it was interesting with this discourse, especially this week, because Brady and Stafford just so happened to be on vacation together coincidentally.
My God.
And Stafford's agent did get the okay from the Rams to go talk with other teams. So a lot of people were like, oh, this is tampering, yada, yada, when in reality it ended up not being tampering because they got the okay. But Brady did not get the job done in getting Stafford to Las Vegas, which would have been pretty interesting to see him and Pete Carroll go to work.
Boy, the way that whole thing was reported to,
yeah,
what's his name, Jordan Schultz, that whole debacle, and then yeah. Ian Rappaport saying, well, they both have a place together, they could have just run into each other,
yeah,
and he goes, that literally is almost impossible,
yeah.
especially when you think of these famous athletes, you don't just see them out like randomly in the Bahamas or Aruba. They're probably, yeah, in like some tucked away like location where they can just be left alone.
But do you know where it was? It was Montana. Do you know how big, yeah, Montana is? It's I know there's not a lot of people there, but it is a big, big state.
It was, yeah, in a ski resort for the rich. Brady, yeah, does live in Montana. And I'm not saying it couldn't happen. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, like, if they're both there, you know, Stafford likes to ski. So, but yeah, it was totally on purpose though. And on top of that, who knew that the Jordan Schultz, Ian Rappaport beef was something that we needed? It's not. You know something? I'm just going to go out and say it. The Ian Rappaport, Jordan Schultz beef is literally Kendrick and Drake beef for people who think mayonnaise is spicy. Let's be real. I saw this because, I mean, you guys were telling me about it, and I'm just like, oh. Okay. Like, oh, I don't know.
Well, it's
two grown-ass men. Like, I don't like the source you're using. Like, man.
I think there's two things that really make that whole situation hilarious. We'll get back to Stafford in a moment, but or unless you had one more point about this as well.
Adam. Well, like can I give a little bit of the storytelling to how this whole thing happened?
Yeah.
Starbucks.
Please, yeah.
So they're both in line at a Starbucks, and so Jordan Schultz walks up to Rappaport. He approached him. He says, "We need to talk. Like, directly asked, and then Rappaport straight up said, "We don't need to talk." No, we don't. And then he goes, "If you have anything to say it to me, say it to my effing face. If this continues, we're going to have an effing problem." And then Rappaport asked Schultz to step back. He goes, "If this happens again, we're going to have an effing problem again." And then he said, after that, "Now I'll step back." And then Rappaport turns around and he calls security.
Yeah.
So on one hand, I don't think you need to call security.
At a Starbucks.
I don't think you need to call security on that. On another hand, do you really need to talk? How often this was brought up on our local radio, our local sports radio. How often when somebody says we need to talk, do you actually need to talk? Unless it's like a girlfriend or something, or like a relative. How often is it like these two people probably don't know each other very well? I don't believe they do. How often do you actually need to talk?
You could also spin it in a way that Jordan Schultz is all around jackass because.
But that's what I'm trying to say. I mean,
because you're right. Initial report of Stafford and Brady being at that ski resort technically is outing his Fox coworker.
Yeah.
If you want to spin it that way.
I mean, didn't Schultz report it himself?
Yeah, he reported it himself.
He did, that's what yeah.
I mean. And he is defending the report, saying like, no, they did not just run into each other at a ski resort in Montana.
Yeah.
Like that's obviously not just a coincidence. It's hard to run into each other anywhere. If you live in the same town as somebody, it's hard to run into them if you're just out and about, but
yeah,
in the midst of an owner of a quarterback needy team and a quarterback who's rumored to be looking around for a trade, and they just happen to run into each other. Yeah, bullshit. I'm sorry. I'm with Schultz on that portion. I'm just saying, if you say you need to talk with anybody, even if it's just a buddy, Chris, if I'm going up to you saying, "Hey, buddy, we need to talk," you're saying, no, we don't.
I would assume at that point we just take it outside and handle it that way.
Just throw hands or something.
Unless I know for a fact that I am in the wrong. That's a different story. But
if you barely know each other, do you really need to talk? How often if it's not a girlfriend or a relative, you're not saying it, you're not solving anything when you're going up to somebody saying, "Hey, we need to talk." Please shut the fuck up.
What is this all about? Like, with all due respect, look, I get why I want to cover this, but like, I don't get what the big deal is. One's just being whiny, and the other one's like, security. Like, when I saw this and I started reading this, the Ian Rappaport, Jordan Schultz beef, my mind immediately went to one of the greatest thinkers of our time, Peter Griffin, and his mighty quote, "Oh my God, who the hell cares?" Like, that's the thing. It's like, oh my God, Jordan Schultz and Ian Rappaport don't like each other. Oh, okay. Like, cool. Like, I don't understand why this is a big deal. It's like, oh, the sources. I'm like, okay. And you know what happened? Do you know what came of this? Matt Stafford is staying on the Rams.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, honestly, listen,
that just makes it even funnier. How about that?
Like, after all of
more
this,
comedic value. Yeah.
And usually when there's something like this happening, it's the athlete on the media. This was media on media crime. So it was something that you don't really see very often. So I think that's what just made it eyebrow raising. And also something where, like, I think we're all thinking, like, this is a problem that it matters this much in that sense. Like, Ian Rappaport and Jordan Schultz going back and forth. It's a story, but it's a story because it's so amusing how things just got blown out of proportion over a story.
Yeah.
But let's get back to Stafford here.
So, all right, back to Stafford's contract right now. So he signed in 22 signed in 22 because that's when they had the ring. He's currently on this deal right now. 2027 is when he's going to be unrestricted free agent. So he's got 2 more years left on his deal, right? The original contract, 4 years, 160 mil, 60 mil signing bonus, 130 mil guaranteed, average annual salary of 40 million. So this next year had a potential opt out, 125 mil, 49 mil in dead cap. So right now, the cap hit that the Rams would have is 53 million going into the 2026 season. So 26 mil is what he's going to be set to earn in 26, 23 mil in this next season, going to be 39 when he becomes a free agent. Say you got a desperate team that's also going to be hunting for a ring and think, well, Stafford is, we could potentially get Stafford to cheap if they end up front loading this money to 2020 more into 2025 so they can trade him in 2026. That's kind of where I'm getting at with that.
Yeah. And taking a look at this, at some of these contract deals, details, it seems like the light half of the deal is already passed.
Yeah.
Like 2022, 13 mil, 2023, 20 mil, 46 mil, 49 mil, 53 million.
Yeah.
Now I'm starting to think this is more of a pay cut. This is that's the only way that this can, there's no way you can move any money around unless they are moving all of this, most of this money from this year to the next 2 years, which are already a ton of money to be paying one player already. Either way, it's not looking good. And if you're looking at some of the other rumors, rather even news surrounding the Rams and that team, it's not good, particularly on their offensive line. We already know Cooper Kupp is gone, most likely. They're shopping him around for cap purposes. But there's a very real chance their entire offensive line could be gone this year, outside of their center. Like, both their starting guards have now been granted permission to seek a trade. Joe Noteboom is a free agent. Their right tackle, their left tackle, Alaric Jackson, free agent. If they're not careful, they could lose all four. And yes, it's a big win to keep your prize acquisition from years ago, Matthew Stafford. But who's protecting him? Who's protecting him? That's a real question. Because they still have, even if you keep all of these guys together, you still have some holes to fill if you're going to become a Super Bowl contender again. So this is a big win for the Rams to keep this guy. I'm curious as to what the details are. But there are some things to look at.
We probably won't know the details probably till closer to, say, minicamp or closer to the draft, maybe.
Well, I see no reason for them to wait that long. I mean, when he signs or, you know, when he officially agrees, I feel like we'll know. And I want to take a look at this deal from like a league-wide perspective. Because here's the thing. As you know, Stafford wanted 40 to 50 million a year. And I may be in the minority. And if the people on the internet say anything, I am in the minority. But I'm going to say it loud. I don't think he's worth that. He should not be getting that, especially since maybe he's got at most 2 years left. And as you know, this is per the New York Post, which, you know, per their sports section, the New York Giants, you know, was, you know, because, you know, New York, obviously, they were sniffing around Stafford. The Raiders obviously were, you know, with a chance, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, meeting with Tom Brady in Montana. And both sides were apparently looking at 2 years, 100 mil for him. And honestly, I think Stafford staying in Los Angeles is a blessing in disguise for New York and Vegas. Because if you're New York or Vegas, and look, if you're New York, look, I'm going to say this plainly. I am fully aware that Joe Shane is on a really short leash and he's just trying to save his ass. I get that. That is not lost on me. And if you're Vegas, you know, your head, your minority owner, now real head of football operations, Tom Brady, he wants to make a splash. You know, he wants to make a name for himself. I get that. Their situations are not lost on me. However, I am going to lean hard into a blessing in disguise, because Stafford is a piece for a team that wants to go to the championship that's a quarterback away. Think of, you know, the Rams when they first got him. Great team, but they were a quarterback away. There is no way in hell that you can convince me that the New York Giants or the Las Vegas Raiders are a quarterback away. Trading for Stafford and then giving him said two-year, $100 million deal really, I think, would have done more damage in the long run. Sure, you know, you might get some, you know, some of those superficial wins, but you're not going to go anywhere with it. So, yeah, I would say that Stafford's decision to stay in Los Angeles saved the Raiders and Giants from themselves.
I mean, at that point, you're basically asking Stafford, say Vegas and the Giants were to get Stafford, you're basically asking him to be a bridge quarterback for whoever you end up draft. If you end up drafting a quarterback in this next draft, whether it be Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward, you're basically asking him to be a bridge quarterback for the new guy, essentially. And you could even say the same thing for Pete Carroll. So then you have double trouble. Pete Carroll, you could essentially call him a bridge coach for the Raiders for the next couple of years. And then whoever Carroll thinks could be heir to the throne, that's going to be the next guy. That's anything could happen at that point, though.
Yeah. I think what I got out of that is with the Giants being in on him, it seems like it was remnants of that whole mini generation of franchises trying to get franchise quarterbacks lit in the latter half of their careers to get a championship, kind of like Tom Brady with the Buccaneers, Peyton Manning with the Broncos, Brett Favre with the Vikings. They're trying to get that. And in that case, the Giants, if they ended up getting him, they would have used their first round pick on, let's say, Travis Hunter, or traded back to go and get another tackle in order to protect them, to sort of build up for right now and then just figure it out later, like the Buccaneers. That's kind of still around. Now, it's disappeared in recent years, but it's still kind of in the background. And I think we saw that right there. The Raiders would have done the same thing. They have the sixth overall pick. They would have just used it instead of using it on a quarterback or something, or trading up. I don't think any of the teams getting Stafford were going to get Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. That's all I'll say.
Yeah. When I mentioned Sanders and Ward, that was more so to potentially the Giants, never mind the Raiders. But yeah, should be interesting to see how the Giants and the Raiders play this out. A new report just came out saying the Giants are now going to potentially pursue Aaron Rodgers. So kind of goes back to the last point, just have a bridge guy, get the next guy ready potentially, but I don't know. Anything else from you guys?
No.
I think we covered this
pretty well. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Trey Smith getting placed on the franchise tag by the Chiefs.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that sixth or seventh spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
This is the Fumble Rooski Podcast, Power 818 Radio, Secret Weapon Consulting, Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros, and Adam Wright. Chiefs, earlier this week, probably Wednesday or Thursday, one of the two, placed Trey Smith on the franchise tag. This was kind of one of those guys that was up for it. Most people in the media kind of expected this. We kind of expected it. Still not a fan of the franchise tag, but not my choice. Thoughts from you fellas on this one? Like I said, obviously it doesn't come as a huge surprise at all, but
um Well, my first thought on this was, I'm just thinking about the market as far as guards go. It's already reasonably thin as far as just that position. And with Trey Smith coming off the board, now players like Patrick McCarrie, Mekhi Becton, Tevin Jenkins, they're going to be a lot more expensive regardless of what happens, because now suddenly he is off the board. It's the position has become more scarce. It's also going to depend on exactly what the Chiefs pay him, because whatever they give him will set a market. But either way, it's going to make the players who are left more expensive than they might have been before. And that's kind of what I'm afraid of when it comes to guards, because I'm not a big fan of paying guards through the teeth, since the position, as far as usually it grows on trees. You find them in all different rounds of the draft. So when you think about a team like the Patriots or the Bears potentially going after this guy, I just didn't see that as it didn't make much sense to me, because again, you can find it somewhere else. The Chiefs are also going to have a very hard time actually paying this guy, because in case you haven't noticed, they don't have a lot of money and they have other players they need to re-sign to.
CJ.
So from a market perspective, now, you know, if you are a fan of a team that needs O-line help, specifically guard, it just, the market becomes thinner, and that, of course, will drive prices up. But the thing is, if you're one of the top dogs in terms of cap space, say, the Commanders, the Raiders, the Patriots, all of whom have not over 90 mil, with New England having over 120, then in a weird way, this works in your favor. Because when prices go up, the amount of people who can poach the top guard free agents from you decreases. It's thinning the herd. And especially if you're a team like New England, you can outbid anyone. So sure, you might have to pay a few bucks more, but like your amount of adversaries you have to compete with has decreased drastically. That's simple. That's the free market in action for you. But for Kansas City, how do they afford this? I'll tell you, they can't. Mathematically speaking, it's not possible, because they have around 7 mil. I want to say they're like just short of 8 mil in cap space. The offensive line franchise tag is 23.4 million. Can you maybe see, if you have an education beyond first grade, how that math doesn't quite work? Or as the children on the interwebs say, the math is not mathing. Still a weird saying, but you know, nothing we can do about it. I don't know how they like can afford it. I mean, obviously you can restructure. And by the way, I can already hear all these snotty Chiefs fans from way out in like Western Yore saying something like, actually Mahomes can just restructure his deal. Mm-hmm. And I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. How do you think restructures work? Like, do you just think it's a magic wand that makes money go away? No, it pushes the money to the future. And by the way, when Mahomes signed his 10-year, $500 million deal, it was already a backloaded contract. And guess what, kids? We're starting to enter the back half where all the money is. And if you keep pushing it all back, you're going to become the Kansas City Saints. Which leads me to believe, and by the way, I want to address, Mahomes already restructured his deal, so there's not a whole lot you can do now. And in the past, it might be different this year, but I see no reason to believe it will. Joe Tooney, Travis Kelce, and Chris Jones, at least last season, I believe, or within the last 2 years, were asked about restructuring their deal or taking a pay cut, and all three refused. And as mentioned, like most of the Chiefs wide receiver room's free agent, star linebacker Nick Bolton's a free agent, starting safety Justin Reed, oh, you bet he's a free agent, two of their starting linemen, Charles Omenihu and Tershawn Wharton, that's right, kids, they're also free agents. And you have a really dire need at left tackle. So money's going to have to come from somewhere. And I don't think it's likely, but I can see them moving on from like a really good player. You know, because that's the only way this money's going to come from. If the rest of your team outside of Mahomes is refusing to take a pay cut or refusing to restructure, then, and you know, and after you apply this tag, you're going to be like around however much mil in the hole. I don't know, like around 15, just off the top of my head. Then someone's going to, or they're going to have to cut someone, or someone, someone's going to have to be moved on from. That's really what I'm trying to come down to. I don't know who it's going to be, but if I, what? Adam, you look like you disagree.
No, I'm just thinking that maybe that they're not trying to re-sign him, that maybe they're just going to trade him.
Yeah, that's because what they're gonna see, right?
Because that's what they did last year with L'Jarius Sneed. It was kind of a lot of the same commentary following it. It's, oh, they're going to try and re-sign him. They're going to keep him, everybody together. And it's all a big smokescreen, and they end up trading him away. And that seems like, I mean, you can't just let a perfectly good guard go for nothing. So I kind of understand that. The question is, who's going to trade for him? Because a top corner, that's one thing. Like L'Jarius Sneed, yeah. A top receiver like T. Higgins, that's another thing. But Trey Smith, a guard, again, like I said, these guys grow on trees. Mm-hmm. They come from everywhere. And I know that, like I said just a few minutes ago, this market is scarce on the free agent market. But you can still find them in drafts. You can find them in next year's free agency class. You can find it in next year's draft. They're all over the place. You can still find a guard some way, somehow. My problem has just been, this is just my beef, it's just that teams have been paying too much for guards in free agency. That's a problem that I have. And I think Trey Smith is up for a massive deal for a guard, and he doesn't deserve it because he's a guard. And guards, again, grow on trees. Trey Smith, you're essentially trading for a guard, a position that's not hard to find, and then you're turning around and paying through the teeth for him.
Yeah, that's a good point. The thing is, I feel like the real question is, it's not about who's going to trade for him. It's about, if you're Kansas City, what can you actually get for him? Because let's take a step back to this time last year. What did L'Jarius Sneed go for? Like a third or a fourth, right? If you think you're going to get anything better for Trey Smith, KC fans, I'm here to tell you you're wrong. And the thing is, it's not just that he's a guard. It's that he's on the tag, meaning that the crumbs you got for L'Jarius Sneed will now be even less than that. Because once again, guard, and basically, even though it's a tag and trade, it's a glorified salary dump. And if somehow you do extend him, then congratulations, you've created yourself financial ruin from which there's no escape. I don't know. I just feel like, look, I get you don't want to lose him for nothing, but if you are doing a tag and trade, I would say at absolute best, you're getting a fourth.
Yeah. Either way, the Chiefs are fucked. I think that's good. Long story short, to wrap that segment up, we're going to take another quick break. When we come back, we're going to get to a little bit of a freestyle. Little freestyle segment coming up next.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns. Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski Podcast. Chris Kostich, CJ Medeiros, Adam Wright. We're going to get into our final segment, which freestyle segment. There's a lot of news going on, just small, silly little news. Obviously, we covered the 2 bigger news stories in the football world. Of course, Stafford happening just today. Trey Smith just happening earlier this week. But there's also other little tidbits of football stories out there that we didn't want to give a full segment to, but we figured that they're enough to be granted a good 5 minutes worth of conversation or so. So I'll start with you, Adam. What grinds your gears? It could grind your gears. It could ungrind your gears. It could give you some flowers. What's on your mind?
All right. So there was a report that came out from Mark Davis this morning, and he basically reported, and some of it was regurgitated from Mass Live News. However, I think a lot of it is noteworthy, and it was a mixed bag. So on one hand,
Are you talking about Robin Glazer?
No, I don't care about that. It's okay. There was a different portion of it, but I'll give you some of the good and some of the bad, and I'll tell you the issue that I have. Number one was the Patriots love Travis Hunter. I think that's a good thing. They're focusing on the trenches and free agency. If they go for a skill position player in the draft, then that kind of that levels things out. Number two, they view him as the best corner in the draft. Kind of bad if you're drafting him to be a corner. Bad. But they also view him as the best receiver in the draft. Good. They need a wide receiver one. And according to recent reports, they are not going for a wide receiver one in free agency they're going to look at trades, but nothing has really materialized. I believe they'll go for something in free agency, but I don't know if it'll be anything that is upper tier. After that, what I also found was the Patriots want two tackles and a guard in free agency. That is good. That's something that I've been preaching for months. It's not just one tackle. Any report that I saw that said they're looking for that one tackle and that one guard. Who's playing right tackle, my dude? Who is playing right tackle? I like Mike Onwenu, but move him to right guard and sign another right tackle. That's a two for one deal. You need to do that. So I liked that they did that. Then I found the next part of the report, which said that their top targets in free agency are Ronnie Stanley and Patrick McCary. Bad. Very bad. Ronnie Stanley is a very big name who has been consistently one of the best tackles in the league. The problem has been, and CJ brings up this point plenty of times. I don't think he's brought it up on the show, but he's brought it off on camera. I'm going to say it now. Thanks. When was the last time before 2024 that Ronnie Stanley has played a full season? That's more than 15 games. It never happened. It didn't happen at all. When he's on the field, he's one of the best in the game. But the guy's about to turn 30. He's on the wrong end of 30. And he has health issues. So any hope that this is all going to get better as far as his health goes, it's misplaced. Because like if he was in his mid-20s and he had health issues, it's like, okay, he could turn it around. Maybe there's something in his conditioning that he needs to change. Maybe the last team didn't have a very good strength and conditioning staff. That happens. They can turn it around. Ronnie Stanley's on the wrong side of 30. Bad, very, very bad idea. The other guy being Patrick McCary. Are you kidding me? So you like Mike Onwenu. Fine. He's serviceable at guard, at right tackle. Fine. He's a good guard. Fine. So you like Mike Onwenu so much that you got the Ravens version of him. Are you kidding me? Stupid, stupid, stupid. You don't need another guard to go play tackle. You need a tackle to play tackle, and go get yourself a guard. And this report, it failed to mention any of the guys who they wanted to be their right tackle. I hope that they're having Patrick McCary play guard. I hope so. But this is one of the guys who, during the last segment, I don't like how free agent guards are getting paid nowadays. They're getting paid too much. I think they should go and find a guy who has lower value, like let's say a Mekhi Becton. Give him some money now that he's not that valuable yet. That pissed me off this morning. That really pissed me off. But I rest my case.
Nice. I like it. No, I agree. It's better. Should try to go for better choices, but sometimes you might have to settle. I'm taking this Patriots offseason the way I took the Red Sox offseason. I'm taking it one day at a time, not getting ahead of myself, not getting my hopes up. Thankfully, the Sox did their job in a way, but hoping the Patriots can do the same thing here. CJ, you have anything you want to add to that?
To this comment, there is a topic in and of itself. I know I keep saying that I just can't shake this awful feeling that they're going to sit on their hands again. But I've said that many times, probably also on the show. But I don't want to say I'm numb, but when I saw Adam put in our chat saying, oh my God, Ronnie Stanley, I'm like, you know, at this point, it's to be expected, right? Just seems like every season, like why can't you, it's like the meme of that woman screaming at her kid where she turns around the car and says, why can't you be normal? Like every year, like you get the great value version of the player you should get. You just make mind-boggling trades. You make some of the worst decisions in the draft. Like every offseason, like you basically do either A, what you shouldn't, or B, you do the great value version, like the bargain bin version of what you should do. I'm hoping, I am praying to God that this is just a smokescreen, because this happens all the time. Smokescreens are real. But I don't know. Look, I mean, Ronnie Stanley's better than nothing, but 2024 was the first time in his entire career where he's played a full season. This inspires no confidence whatsoever in me.
I wanted Alaric Jackson. That's the guy who I wanted. And I failed to mention this part of the report, but they said they don't want, and I quote, second tier tackles like Alaric Jackson. If you know anything about football, you know that Alaric Jackson is on the upper tier in this free agency class as far as tackles go. He's the best tackle in this free agency class. He's the youngest guy. Just the whole thing about anything, everything about this morning pissed me off. Actually, not everything. There were some things about Travis Hunter I really liked, but oh boy.
CJ, we'll whip it right back to you. What is either grinding your gears or giving you some flowers? Or somewhere in the middle?
The combine. Every year we do this. Every year we talk about how much the combine's overrated, and it is. It's like, hey, kids, you want to watch the underwear Olympics? Watch people run around on a field and do bench presses? And it's like the amount of stock that's put into this, like, I get it, I do, but it's so stupid. It's like you can see a guy who you know is good. It's like, oh my God, I sure can't wait to watch his entire future be dictated by his 40 time. It's just every year it gets hammered into our noggin about how much the 40-yard dash time does not mean jack diddly or squat. And yet every time someone's a fast 40, they get on their knees and start bowing like, oh my God, truly this is the next GOAT. Like really, really, like, I'm sorry. For example, Tennessee edge rusher James Pierce ran like a 4.5 40 or maybe sub that. And look, he's very good. I think he's one of the top three edge rushers in this class. But come on, this doesn't mean anything. I mean, for example, like, you know, guys like Dree Archer, John Ross, like we're so wary of this. And they also put a lot of stock into the bench press. It's a Stephen Paya or whatever his name was. I think was drafted by like the Browns or the Cowboys, because I know he played for both. I don't know where he started. Set like the all-time bench press record. And you know what he did? He was all right. That was it. He was just all right. And it's just, I'm so sick of, like, I'm not going to say it's not important, but the amount of stock that people put into the combine. How many legends have we seen just put up a real stinker at the combine and then proceed to be good? Prime example. And no, I'm not going to do Tom Brady. That's low hanging fruit. Orlando Brown Jr. was literally considered a first round pick, put up a horrific combine, fell to the fourth round, and then became a star in the league. It's like, and people are just saying, the combine's a tool so they can juxtapose what they see without pads versus what they see on film. BS. If that's the case, then why did John Ross, who was like a late second rounder, fringe first, depending on the draft, go top 10 if it's just a tool? No, they put way too much stock in it. And don't get me started on the pro days. In fact, the pro day might be even more evil than the combine.
It made Zach Wilson a number two overall.
Zach Wilson, the pro day merchant. Like, if you have a really good pro day, that is even more inflationary than the combine. Like you said, like Zach Wilson, you know, I never liked him, and I've been vindicated on this many, many a time.
I liked him in college.
I knew it wouldn't translate. But then again, you didn't know me then.
Doesn't mean you can't say that he's fun to watch in college.
But anyway, fun to watch. But a lot of them are fun to watch. I mean, look, Anthony Richardson was fun to watch, and now look, man can't throw past 5 yards accurately. And oh my God, just the combine's just so ridiculous. I mean, that's really what it is. I know I've just gone on and on about that. And the pro day too. It's like every year we say this, just calm down. Good God, please. I don't care. And by the way, now that it's the combine, I'd like to say one last thing to you, the viewer. Yes, you specifically. I mentioned this before during the season, and now I get to say it. I would like to introduce you to, drum roll, please, the CJ Medeiros Combine Drinking Game. If you're under the age of 21, I don't know, drink milk or something. So, yeah, I know, Adam, calm down. Basically, every time Rich Eisen mentions he's from Michigan, or somebody mentions that Rich Eisen went to Michigan, take a shot. No, seriously, you will be dead. In fact, this game comes with the Surgeon General's warning. Because every time it's like, oh, he played against Michigan. I'm Rich Eisen. I'm from Michigan. Or, oh, he's a former Michigan Wolverine. You know who else is? Me, Rich Eisen. Or it'll just be like, oh, and this guy, he's from like Kennesaw State or somewhere random. He's like, hey, Kennesaw State, that's cool. Did you know Kennesaw State has an N in it and Michigan ends in N? Or it should be something like that. Every time they say something, he has to mention it. So yeah, literally take a shot every time it happens. You're welcome, America.
It's a good way to wrap it up there. Adam, you want to respond to any of that combine talk?
We've done plenty of combine talk about how stupid it is that it's become a dead horse. So yeah. We kind of already went over it on Tuesday, but I mean, there's a couple of things to watch as far as what's going to skyrocket players' value and what's going to tank it. And it's going to get interesting because there's a lot of question mark prospects. And this is a draft that it's going to be extremely difficult. It's about as murky as it gets in recent memory as far as who's going to be drafted where.
One thing I guess I'll say about it is like, it's really only for the combine is really there for anyone that's getting drafted, that's projected to get drafted outside of or inside the second round. It's really only there to help your draft stock. If you're outside of the first or second round, if you're in the first or second round, you might as well just say fuck it, because you're just going to, I feel like you have more of a possibility to fuck yourself out of millions of dollars if you end up doing the combine or not doing the combine. So that's the one thing I'll say about that.
That's literally something I said. I just want to say, Chris, I'm not saying you're plagiarizing. I'm just saying like,
no.
I brought up one of the episodes where Adam and I were talking about the combine where you weren't on. Where we were talking about, oh, these players are skipping. And I said, well, if you're a top prospect and you go to the combine, you literally have nothing to gain but everything to lose. Best case scenario, maybe you solidify yourself going top 10. Worst case, you screw yourself out of it.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, you don't even really see the top five guys really go to the combine anyways. Like, Abdul Carter's not going to the combine.
Cam Ward. Today. He just
Ashton
said that he's Genty.
Ashton Genty. But, yeah. So, what ails me? This doesn't really ail me. This is more just entertainment. The NFL report cards got posted yesterday. And it's just fun to see which teams fall where in terms of how good the organization is, how good it is to play there, how much life is great or how much life sucks. Arizona was ranked the worst organization in the NFL. Their worst grade was their weight room, which was an F. Food and owner were given D minuses, and their treatment of family was a D plus. The best organization to play for is the Miami Dolphins. A plus on everything besides treatment of family, which was given an A. So they're doing something right besides putting together a winning football team. Vikings were second, pretty much the same thing as the Dolphins. The Pats were ranked the second worst organization. I only mention that because we're all Pats fans. They were given an F on travel and weight room, which, hate to see the weight room be given an F. Travel, I saw a report that the travel was because it's kind of an older private jet, and there's still cigarette, whatever you call it.
Ashtrays.
Yeah. There were still ashtrays in the plane. Players didn't like that. So that's why I was given an F. The worst rated owner. You guys want to guess who that is?
I would have to say Woody Johnson of the Jets. That guy's a bungler.
Yeah. He was given the worst rated owner.
Because he lets his teenagers run it.
Yeah.
Like, that's probably why. He's barely even an owner.
Yeah. Cincinnati was given an F for food and an F minus for treatment of family.
Ooh.
F minus for treatment of family is insane. The F doesn't surprise me because there was that report that came out last offseason where the Bengals did not offer food on Tuesdays and Wednesdays.
I think I remember that.
Yeah. Top rated coaches, Dolphins, Vikings, Falcons, Detroit, Washington, and Kansas City. Kansas City, by the way, 26th ranked organization on the report card list.
See, and Chris, this is why when we were talking about what to cover, I said this shouldn't have gone its own segment because the Chiefs, which are one of the organizations, 26. It's like, and by the way, I kind of feel like Miami being number one is actually an indictment on them.
Yeah.
You know, especially how high their head coach is rated. And, you know, it came out today, right? Or not today,
yesterday,
a few weeks ago, how McDaniel, he's not an alpha. He's not a leader. He wants to be their friend. He's basically, like I said, he's the ringmaster of a circus. Like, that's kind of his thing. He wants to be the cool coach. And honestly, Miami getting this high of a grade should actually, make them upset because it's getting, you want the players to be happy and stuff, but there's just no leadership there. It's basically a day spa where every so often you play football.
So that's kind of where I was getting at. A lot of these grades, I feel like, are more of an indictment on certain narratives. And it's also just a fun thing to see how the players feel about certain things. Like, for example, Woody Johnson being named the worst owner, or the Patriots being given an F for their travel and their weight room, and giving a D to Robert Kraft, or giving a B plus to Gerard Mayo. It's just interesting to look at some of this stuff. Any grades you guys were curious about, or am I just the only one that likes talking about this shit?
Yeah, I just really don't see how much it matters. I mean, even at the height of the Patriots dynasty, they were always in the bottom 10 in player report cards.
Yeah.
The fact is, winning is the best deodorant. And when the it's very telling that this is coming out for the Patriots while they suck.
Yeah.
Because back then it was never really much of a headline that the Patriots were around this level. Now suddenly it's coming out. Do you think the Planes were any better back when the Patriots were good? No. No. It was the same thing. And players wanted to be here because players wanted to win.
Yeah.
And I'm not justifying it, but this just shows that it is a business. They're trying to keep as much money on the field as possible. You can talk all you want about how Robert Kraft may be a cheap GM, rather a cheap owner. But none of you were saying this when they were winning. So that's all I'll say right there.
Yeah.
Winning is the best deodorant. As soon as this team, they have Drake May, they have a lot of cap space. They're bound to spend on the trenches and to gain some stability on this team. As soon as this team is back to being relevant in the next year or so, none of this is going to come out again.
No. And then they'll just make another report card and talk about it. But, yeah, but there was one other thing I was, the other point I was going to make is it kind of goes to show which owners care enough to do up their facilities and make sure players have a somewhat enjoyable time outside of winning and making sure that their life doesn't suck. Like, imagine getting an F minus for travel, or imagine you get graded an F minus for the treatment of your family. Like, that's terrible. I feel like that's terrible.
Family treatment, especially, like, that's actually really bad.
Like, there's a lot, like, there's stuff here that's just like, why doesn't, like, if the owners would, they could. And, like, that's obviously prevalent with Miami, Minnesota, Atlanta, shit, even Vegas, the Chargers. Some of these organizations that are in the top half are a little bit surprising, but goes to show, like, if the owners could, they would. Make it so that your team is enjoyable to play for. Never mind the winning. Make sure your players' lives are enjoyable. But that's just me. Anything else you guys want to throw out there?
No, not really.
Nice. I don't know if I brought this one up before, but Deebo Samuel, reports on him being garnering interest from the Steelers, the Texans, the Commanders, and the Giants, I think it was. Did I bring that up already? I don't think I did either.
But either way, it's Deebo Samuel, his stock has plummeted, you know, with all the stuff that's come out about him this offseason, so I don't know how much it really matters.
Yeah.
At the point where the guy's probably going to get released. And I expect a few other players as well, but Deebo is at the top of the list. He was kind of useless last year.
Led the team in drops, if I recall correctly.
Well, that'll do it for this Friday edition of the Fumble Rooski podcast. Thank you for tuning in. New episode coming out on Tuesday at 7:30. Be sure to subscribe our YouTube channel. And we also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumbleRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, CJ Medeiros, Adam Wright, myself, Chris Gostich, say so long. Have a great weekend. We'll see you Tuesday.